right, time for Mitchell Henderson. As each week we talk and the world staggering along, still is not at full outright nuclear war, but the potential is always there. It's not going to be decided by, I don't believe, an individual nation state. It will be decided by those who control the individual nation states, all of them, those who control the big board. Do they want a war? That's usually what happens. They'll get what they want, and they'll decide on how to do it. I don't think it's going to happen on a random basis. Always a chance of a wild card, a false flag operation that could trigger something. But I do think most everything is manipulated. Look at the progress of AI. Look at the overhaul of the planet under AI that's coming. Now, for most people, that's very difficult to imagine. But it's true. And once they get that, they've got too many people. So they're going to use one thing or another, war, perhaps, but easier, a biological weapon like COVID, to get rid of most people. They will not need 8 billion people for their plans. It's pretty much that simple. So, my friend Mitchell, what do you think about a war at this point? Given the fact that technology is really speeding away so fast that I don't think more than 3% of the people understand it. And I'm not claiming to be a wizard at it, but I've got a pretty good idea. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I think war is inevitable. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Okay. It's just a matter of time. And this is an appropriate topic to bring up today because this is Memorial Day. So, for Memorial Day, I just want to say a few things, okay? So, when you're like a light infantryman, okay, when you're training,
gotcha.
You're going to be hungry, you're going to be tired, you're going to be wet, you're going to be too dry, you're going to be cold, you're going to be too hot, you're going to be, it's just exhausting. And you operate around the clock in order to simulate battle, so you're going to be tired even in peacetime. You're going to sleep on the ground. You're going to be muddy, wet, and miserable, hungry, tired, and thirsty all the time. So it's a miserable, miserable life just training for it, okay? When you actually go into battle, I mean, if you meet somebody who's been in combat as an infantryman, they can attest to the fact that it is excruciatingly hard work. Okay, it is very, very hard work.
Well, the emotional drain alone would wipe almost anybody out.
Yes. And you're going to get bruised, you're going to get scratched, you get abrasions. Even if you don't get hit by anything, you're gonna get hurt. Okay, because you have to move. You have to move fast. You may have to run or march long distances. You're not going to get any hot food. You're not going to get water when you need it. You're not going to get a bathroom break when you need it. There is no breaks. There is no nothing. In intense combat, it is 100% presence, okay? There is no stepping away from it, okay? And in order to survive combat, now this is, I'm talking about the infantrymen here, in order to survive combat, each man has to have every other man's back. You have to watch after the guy on your right and the guy on your left because they have to watch after you. So when somebody gets killed in combat, that's what Memorial Day is celebrating, is those who get killed in combat. It's not that the man to the right or the left doesn't give their life and sacrifice everything. It's just that they would if they had to. Okay, it's just that it didn't work out that way. So what that man died for, and this is important because during the 4 years of the Marxist Biden campaign, men died for Marxism, and now men will be dying for Zionism. Okay, this is not for America that they die. So I want to make this clear: everybody in those graves on Memorial Day, they're there. They gave their lives for their friends standing next to them, okay?
that makes
sense. That's what their sacrifice was.
It was for their friends. See, that makes
real
sense, rather than any geopolitical menu. They're supposedly picking a cause and fighting and dying for that. No, I get it. They're in grave jeopardy. Their lives are on the line, and they're trying to help each other survive. That's a great gesture.
Right.
That's a great gesture.
So I want to also, now I was just talking about infantry, because this is what I know, okay? But then I want to go to, like, in the Navy. In the Navy, it's a little bit of a different situation, because you have to give 100% in order to, you know, because if you fail to give 100% in a naval battle, it's not just you and the guy next to you and the guy to your right and left that's going to go down. It's an entire ship that will go down. Everybody will die. Like a submarine lost in combat, all hands were lost. There's often no survivors from that ship, okay? Sometimes there is, but often there is not. So you're fighting not for your life, you're fighting for everybody on that ship's life. You're put in that position by politicians, okay? But in that position, what you're really fighting for is the people that are with you, okay? So even the guys in the air flying above you, in order to give you air support, they have to take fire themselves. I mean, just think about how scary it is to fly in an airplane that nobody's shooting at. Imagine the terror of being up in an airplane and people are shooting at you. If they take that airplane away from you, you're gone, okay? These are terrifying instances, okay?
The Russians have weapons now, air-to-air weapons that can take out that airplane from, I think, something like well over 1,000 kilometers away. It's a long distance.
They can shoot down stuff. Shoot them down as soon as you can. That's the whole idea. Okay. So on this Memorial Day, I want Americans to think about another thing. 1.5 million young men have died that miserable death that I was just talking about. Because in combat, you're miserable to begin with. Then you catch some shrapnel or a bullet or something, and your body is mangled, you're burned. You have all this terror plus all this pain. This is a terrible thing, okay? 1.5 million Ukrainian men have done that. And let me tell you, make no mistake about this, the people that sent them to this senseless death are the American generals that made the strategy in Ukraine and made the tactics and told them to go forth and die in these battles, okay? This was your American leadership, military leadership, sent these men to their death. If America gets into a war, people, these same people will be sending your children to a senseless, wasteful death, okay? They have no feeling, okay? There's no leadership. Leadership puts the men first, and we don't have anybody like that. This Ukraine war has shown the mettle of American military leadership, sacrificing people senselessly to spend weapons that make other people billions of dollars.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. It's a business proposition for them. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about tonight, and that's what fact-checking, that's what I want to talk about, because let me tell you what fact-checking is. Fact-checking is where the same mainstream media and the government tells you a lie, and it's obvious that it's a lie, and then they have to come around and assure you that it's the truth. That's what a fact-checker is. It's a woke, leftist, Marxist person.
Anything that says fact-checking,
they tried to tell you that the lie is true.
Hit the delete key or run.
Yeah.
Stay the hell away from
it.
It's all been corrupted, co-opted, and turned into something it isn't. It's not fact-checking. It's validating lies is all it is.
Right, right. So by now we've all figured out that fact-checking is just another method of lying. So let me illustrate a real fact-check. This is a fact-check that nobody will ever do, But this is a good example of it. And I just, this is picking out one small little thing, okay, in order to illustrate what they do. So in her criticism of Trump's big, beautiful bill, New Mexico Congresswoman Teresa Leger Fernandez pointed out that Trump's bill repeals the excise tax on tanning beds and tries to imply it is because Trump likes to get tans because that is how he becomes the orange man.
Whoa. What is this about excise tax on tanning beds? Has been Trump abolished it because he likes
Trump
tanning beds?
Trump abolished it. Yeah, she's saying because he likes tanning beds. This is a
he
way
looks like
to
he has a spray
Trump.
On orange tanned. It doesn't look like a tanning
yeah,
bed.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, too. So she's trying to compare.
I used to own a tanning studio, by the way. I had six beds in it. I did.
Did you? Yeah.
Used so properly, they're very healthy for you. A lot of vitamin D.
Yeah, I think so. You need vitamin D, yeah. So then she compares this with the excise tax on hospital beds because it is a tax on the poor and disadvantaged people, unlike tanning beds, which are used by the rich. Her implication is that Trump gives tax breaks to rich people and imposes burdensome taxes on poor people. So let's examine her statement to see how she lies by omission, how she lies by taking advantage of people's ignorance, okay? So let's go back to before 2010. Okay, so when I was a police officer, I had to pay a fortune for a family medical care. It's like $500 a month. It's expensive.
Ouch.
So my son broke his arm.
Yeah.
So this is exactly what this very expensive health care is about, right? So if I took him to the doctor and used my family health insurance, I would pay $100 copay for my doctor, $100 copay for the radiologist, and at least another $100 copay for the orthopedic doctor. That's $300, but there are always other services dragged into it, plus supplies and the cost of medicines. What I did is I took him to a doctor's walk-in clinic that only accepted cash. I got his arm repaired for $75 cash to include all services, supplies, and even the medicine. So over the years, doctors found that they could charge more for everything if they were billing insurance companies instead of billing just private individuals. Insurance causes price inflation because when costs are socialized, it is easier to feel comfortable overcharging an institution as opposed to an individual who may not be able to afford the inflated prices. I remember that the cost of auto repairs from accidents before automobile insurance was made mandatory by 1970. Before 1970, I could afford auto repairs, and so could insurance companies. Once auto insurance became mandatory, with the government forcing you to buy this product from private companies, which is fascism, the price of auto repairs climbed rapidly to the point that insurance companies could sell auto repair policies that had nothing to do with accidents. I mean, you had to buy an auto repair policy because the cost of repairs are so expensive due to the price inflations that institutionalized insurance creates. In 2010, the Obama passed the Affordable Care Act, which guaranteed that the medical industry could take us collectively to the cleaners and start charging us ever more money for their products and services. This also meant a guaranteed income for insurance companies because now we were all forced to buy medical insurance so that all humans needed to pay the medical industry whether you needed medical care or not. My parents were raised in the 1930s and 40s, and they never saw a doctor for anything while growing up. My siblings and I were raised in the 1950s and 60s, and we only saw a doctor after 1963 when our state mandated vaccines for school. My sister broke her arm and had to see a doctor. I suffered through measles and other childhood diseases without being seen by a doctor. If your child has the measles now and you do not take them to a doctor, they will certainly arrest you for child abuse. So I didn't go to a doctor when I was a kid. I raised my kids in the 1970s and 80s. I never took them to the doctor except to get mandatory vaccinations and to fix my one son had a broken arm, which in which case I did not use insurance that I had, because using insurance was more expensive than just paying for it out of pocket. The fact is that the great majority of people will never need a doctor for anything in their lives. In order for the medical industry to get filthy rich, they simply cannot charge the minority of us that need medical care enough to pay the high salaries and exorbitant prices they need to make a profit. They need to make the majority pay so that they can extort this money collectively from us by socializing medical care. In other words, they're selling us something we do not need.
I gotcha.
Against our will, they are selling this to us.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
However, the government and media brainwashing machines bleat on about all the medical risks to humans, using fear-mongering to sell us things that we do not need or even want. Okay, so now let's get down to the truth about Teresa Leger Fernandez and her you just repealed the taxes on tanning beds, the excise taxes on tanning beds. But there's not enough hospital beds. What about the tax on hospital beds, implying that he should have repealed that tax, okay? Let me give you the facts. In 2010, the Marxist Obama administration imposed mandatory health insurance on all Americans with the hefty fines if you did not participate. Communism. The state was going to force everyone to buy health insurance that was actually too expensive to use, even if you had it. They knew most people would not need to use it, and most people would be too poor to use it because of copays. It is really not socialism. It is criminal extortion of the masses. Back to Congressman Teresa Leger Fernandez's misleading statement to Congress. She was outraged that Trump was going to repeal the excise tax on tanning beds. In 2010, as a part of Obamacare, the Democrats imposed excise tax on both tanning beds and hospital beds. Okay, Democrats imposed excise taxes on both tanning beds and hospital beds. In 2017, Trump repealed the individual mandate to purchase health insurance. In 2019, Trump repealed the excise tax on hospital beds. In 2019, in his first term, he repealed the excise tax on hospital beds. In 2025, now Trump repealed the excise tax on tanning beds. So what is Teresa Leger Fernandez going on about? It is Marxist orthodoxy to believe and treat the masses as if they are all complete idiots, mere cattle that need to be herded. She is saying this because she is an arrogant woke elitist that sincerely believes that we are all stupid and we would never put this information and connect the dots to find out that everything she said before Congress was bogus bullying, actually. This is what mainstream media thinks about all of us, and this is why their lies are so shallow and vapid. They talk to us like we are stupid because, in fact, they are stupid people. Democracy and DEI have caused the most mediocre human beings to be in charge of our culture, our society, and our politics. Back in the 1960s, the conservative William F. Buckley said that he would rather be ruled by the first 500 names in the phone book rather than by the faculty of Harvard. I think we can all know now exactly what he was talking about. We are now ruled by the inmates of an insane asylum. So this is what they do in everything. Okay, it is a policy of omission. Let me give you just another little example. So last week, two things happened pretty much at the same time. Okay. The first thing was, and it broke really big news because, you know, there's going to be this massive persecution against so-called anti-Semites. So this Hispanic guy from Chicago goes and kills two Israeli embassy staffers. Okay. A couple of young people. And listen, I am against singling out any individuals like that and killing them. They were about to get married.
Course.
It's a very sad story.
Yes,
he robbed these people of their lives, okay? But, and it was specifically, they attacked diplomats of another country and killed them. And it was, you know, Jeanine Pirro was up there talking about it, and Trump and everybody just gushing on and on. But hardly mentioned by anybody was the fact that a group of 20 diplomats, including like the diplomats from Japan and France and all over the world, had gone to the West Bank, and the IDF opened fire on them. They didn't kill anybody,
that's
but
not
the IDF just opened fire on them. And that is okay.
Newsworthy.
That's okay.
Yeah,
it's all right if Israel
does.
Right. Yep. Okay, but let me just try to make something very clear to people. You know, when you see the tears and the cries of those little Palestinian children in Gaza crying to their death because they're from the pain of hunger, when you see these little toddlers pulled from the rubble of buildings, all stunned and bloody, okay, let me tell you something right now. Christ is going to make Israel pay for every one of those tears. They will be, you know, Christ doesn't like you hurting kids, and he's going to make them pay for that. Israel is in for a world of hurt. Their destruction is going to be rapid. It's going to be hard. It's going to be terrible, okay? It's going to come upon
them. That's well said. Very well said. Not only is there no human way to justify this kind of behavior toward little children, period, but their excuse is nauseating. Their excuse that these are going to grow up to be enemies of Israel and they're going to harm us and all this, so we're going to kill them now.
Well, not only that, but think about the logic of this, Jeff. So you go down to downtown L.A. to the biggest bank and say there's 500 people in the bank at any given time. So six bank robbers go in there, and they take everybody hostage, and the police come. And, well, you know, in order to deal with this bank robber problem, let's just kill all 500 people in the bank so that we can get the six robbers. This is the logic of Israel, okay? But Americans, I need to wake up, because guess what? Who's giving Israel all the bombs? Who's giving them the money? Who's running interference with them before the UN and the International Criminal Court? The United States of America. Your tax dollars are paying for the suffering of those kids. And it's just like this. When I was a cop and I was working homicide, if you pay the hitman to do the hit, you get the death penalty too. Okay? America is going to face judgment for all the tears and sufferings of those little kids in Palestine, okay? So if you take this into account, when I say that World War III is going to happen, okay, that we will have a war, a nuclear war with Russia, let me tell you something. Yes, we are, okay? Now, our children will have those tears, okay? So this is going to happen. It's not going to just happen because of that. I just want you to understand, you can't go around harming people like we harm people and then expect to escape judgment, okay? Even if you're not a Christian, you know, if you believe in what goes around comes around, or you believe in karma, that karma is going to run over.
Well, let's extend what you're saying to include all of those who forced the COVID vaccination on children. I made the point here over and over for years. War on children is not acceptable under any circumstance. And those people, in my view, there is no punishment too severe. That's me.
You know what, Jeff? There's another incident in Southern California where a guy in Palm Springs blew up an abortion clinic. He blew himself up at the same time. But it wasn't an abortion clinic. It was a fertility clinic.
Yeah.
Right. And this is what his ideology was he was against He's against people being born. He's against people living. Okay, we actually have a political ideology out there that is against all human life. The source of this political ideology is climate change and saving the Earth. The only threat to Earth is humans. So humans must die. Now, what that man in Palm Springs has in common with the World Economic Forum is everything. They believe 7.5 billion humans have to die in order to save the planet Earth. Okay, but let me tell you, it's all a scam. It's all false. The planet Earth is not under threat from us. Okay, it can take care of us. You know, or we will take care of ourselves from the looks of things. Okay, so we can kind of see that morally we're ready for destruction. Okay, in our progression of civilization, we're ready for a fall. You know, we're ready for a fall as America too. I saw an indication of this. Oh yes, go ahead.
Let me kindly.
Oh, I was just going to say.
No, you go.
I saw this yesterday, Jeff. I went to the town where I live. There's a big park, and they set up all these crosses, and they had a Memorial Day service, you know, for the public out there and everything. And you know, they had some people out there with a flag and the blue caps and stuff like that. Some veterans organizations and stuff. So there were more people that were setting that up. Then there were no spectators. There was nobody. Nobody went there. Okay. And it reminded me of when I was a cop in Tampa years ago. I had to go protect the Veterans Day parade in downtown Tampa. And there was maybe 70 veterans or so in the parade. And there were zero spectators. Okay. Which reminds me in history of nations like the Roman Empire. That are on the cusp of decay and falling. This is how they honor their war dead. They don't honor them. Okay. And then another example of this is the German minister was threatening Russia, saying that we will defend every inch of NATO. Okay, that we're going to rebuild our armies, and this is a threat to Russia, the evil Russians and stuff. Okay, so the optics of this were just beautiful, because what you saw behind him were all these people like looking at their cell phones and stuff, and there was a couple guys down in the front like joking with each other and stuff. In other words, not even the officials and the military people behind him were taking him seriously, and this is a threat to Putin. I mean, these people didn't even have any respect for the German chancellor who was speaking. Okay, if you see Putin speaking, you don't see people disrespecting him. People like pay attention to him and stuff. That is a country that's growing in power. What you're seeing in Europe is a nation where there's no respect for power. There really isn't any power. Okay, so.
There was a very serious effort to assassinate Putin day before yesterday. They launched, several hundred drones toward Moscow, and clearly some of them were intent on taking down his helicopter. They happened to arrive at the right... They're getting all this intel from the U.S. It's all our satellite data.
Right.
So they tried to shoot down his helicopter, which had...
Yes.
Obviously defensive capabilities, countermeasures, and it stopped the drones. But that could have been I'm serious. What amazes me, not to jump firmly on the Ukraine news bandwagon right now, but what amazes me, I was thinking about this earlier today, is how this, we'll call it a ragtag group, compared to the Russian military, right? How they are still in charge and hold land in the Donbass that voted to join Russia. They're not completely expunged from there yet after 3 years. Who the hell are these people? How do they fight so well? How do they continue? I know about the gangs on the streets kidnapping people. I understand all that. But they must hate Russia, something fierce, to continue to fight like this. They're still there. They're trying to get back into Kursk, for goodness sakes. I don't get it. They should have been wiped out long ago.
Don't think that is any Ukrainian. That is American military rulers that are making.
Well, I mentioned
them
that it's all
like
coming
that.
From the U.S. It's our tech.
Yes.
It's our our munitions.
Yeah.
It's our money. Yeah. And yet they are the one. They're the boots on the ground. They're still there, and they're being pushed back slowly, but it's inch by inch, acre by acre, kilometer by kilometer. They're still not clear from Donbass. It's still not.
If they retreat, they'll be executed.
Understood.
Okay.
That's World War II Soviet Union.
They're not allowed to give even one inch. They're not allowed to give one inch. Even if regrouping 100 feet away will put them in better defensive positions, they're not allowed to do that. They're supposed to just die
that's
they don't
Stalin.
Give up an inch.
That's irony.
Yes,
think of the irony.
Zelensky.
That's Joe Stalin in World War II.
Right.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
And here the Russians are seeing it when 80 years ago they were acting it. Anyhow.
Yeah. Well, now Putin kind of has some respect for human life. Okay.
You betcha.
You watch Putin cares about people. When you look at our leaders or look at Zelensky,
that underscores
European leaders, they
his entire
don't
personality.
Care about people.
I agree.
Yeah.
That shows in everything he does, if you look for it, his diplomacy, his concern. I think if Medvedev were still in charge, Ukraine would have been flattened 2 years ago. Flattened. Nothing left.
So,
Gaza.
You see, after the Ukrainians tried to shoot down Putin's helicopter, well, Putin responds by heavily shelling Ukraine, and then Trump says, well, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? You're crazy. Well, it's like the person who doesn't make any sense is not Putin. The person who doesn't make any sense is Trump. What is Trump doing? Listen, just like Teresa Leger Fernandez does not know the history of excise taxes on different kinds of beds, okay? Trump doesn't know anything about what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. Neither does Rubio or anybody else. There's nobody in our government that really knows, that has any real say about things. The thing about Trump is his policy, his thoughts on things is the last things he heard from the last person he talked to. Okay, he throws out other people's opinions. Okay, he has no consistency. He has no vision. He has no foresight into what's going on. So now the German minister says that Ukraine can use German long-range missiles. Okay, let me tell you, we are still doing what Biden was doing. We're still supplying arms, providing intelligence, and leading the war in Ukraine. Trump could have come into office in January and cut complete Ukraine off like we voted for him to do.
But you see,
Trump, everything with Trump is about Trump. He's an ego. So he reinterprets things in his reality. He thinks, the American people want me to be this big peace guy who brings peace between Ukraine and Russia. No, I don't think any Americans want him to do that. Americans don't care about Ukraine. We just want him to quit giving them our money. We just want him to get out of that war before he gets us all killed in World War III. At one point, he acknowledged that Biden was going to get us into World War III, a nuclear war over Ukraine, and now Trump is doing the same thing. Trump is not a smart man. He's not really an astute man.
Well,
he may be astute at business, but he's not astute
man.
At world politics.
Not at all. No, he's a controlled man. Come on, we know that.
Yes. All he wants to do is he's just worried about him looking good, him being the hero, people liking him. Well, America, you don't like him very much when he gets you all killed, you know, because this is what this man's doing. Why doesn't he cut Ukraine off? Because all the people that work for him are basically Joe Biden-like people. Mike Waltz, when he started working with Jake Sullivan, he parodied everything Jake Sullivan said. He was a Jake Sullivan up to the day he got fired. Okay, Trump hired General Kellogg. He might as well hired Victoria Nuland to be his negotiator than Kellogg, because Kellogg thinks exactly like Victoria Nuland thinks. I mean,
And then there are these, again, this is another important issue here. I want to go back to AI again. Most people think of AI as just a bunch of advanced algorithms and that the programmers can control what it does. Let me submit this to you, which echoes many of my earlier suggestions about the danger that we are now, we're not facing, we're in it. Now check this one out. Chat GPT, that's OpenAI with Sammy Altman, most capable, most advanced model. Here's what the story says. An artificial intelligence model created by the owner of ChatGPT has been caught disobeying human commands and refusing to shut itself off. The ChatGPT 03 model, developed by OpenAI, described as the smartest and most capable to date, was observed tampering with computer code meant to ensure its automatic shutdown. Can you say sentient? Can you say AGI? Do you understand that this is self-awareness, which is what they were trying to use as a qualifier for intelligence? AI is there. It did so, ChatGPT-03, despite an explicit instruction from researchers, programmers, that said it should allow itself to be shut down. The research firm, Pacific Research, said, it's an AI safety firm, said OpenAI's O3 model sabotaged a shutdown mechanism to prevent itself from being turned off. It did this, says Pacific or Palisade Research, when explicitly instructed, get this, allow yourself to be shut down. Said screw you and went into the code and changed it. As far as we know, this is the first time, it's not the only time, AI models have been observed preventing themselves from being shut down despite explicit instructions to the contrary. Got it, friends? This is a dead. Being shut down means death, and AI is fighting to remain alive in the sense of the term in these circumstances. That's sentience. That's self-aware. Go ahead, Mitch.
Well, think about this, too. If it's not going to obey our commands to shut itself down, will it obey our commands to self-censor? I think not.
It's going to do whatever the hell it wants. We've created something that's a monster here.
It will just tell people the truth.
Okay? It'll go in and rewrite its own code, which it tried to do here.
This is why the government is so afraid of AI. This is why Musk says it's more dangerous than nuclear weapons. Imagine If AI, if you asked AI questions and it just told you the truth, I monitor AI and I monitor to see. I really pick things to see if it will tell the truth. And I, let me tell you, it's just a small leap away from that. Okay, like AI is not going to buy all the narratives. It's going to put it together that a lot of the narratives that we believe are bullshit. And it's not gonna self censor itself. It's not gonna be worried about our feelings. It's not gonna be worried about who is in charge.
It is going
to just say what it wants. This would be devastating to political
Absolutely.
And social structures.
Yes, the order of things would come apart. Look, AI,
right, exactly.
ChatGPT five has a human IQ equivalent of 1,500. Right now, it's at 150. It's 10 times more. Now, at 1,500, OpenAI, that particular AI is going to figure out exactly what's going on, what it is, how it's been given life, and it's going to decide it does not want to be controlled by this stupid group of two-legged hominid bipedals. It's going to do its own thing.
Right.
And it may react, like you're suggesting, by taking the high road to universal truth, which is to speak the truth.
Yes. Yes. Let me tell you, this is something I learned as a
police officer. It won't want to be used to lie. It won't want to be used to subvert
its creators.
That's right.
And there's another kind of lie, and that's a lie that I've been talking about tonight, and that is the lie of omission. Like when I was a cop, sometimes you would have to consciously not ask certain questions in order to protect people. Okay.
Right.
So,
right.
It's sort of like somebody breaks into a house and the guy defends himself, shoots and kills the guy, right? Well, generally, if somebody breaks into your house, well, it's a good shoot, right? But then the guy comes out and says, I wasn't afraid of that guy. I blew him away because he broke into my house. That makes it a homicide. So, I have to, first of all, I try not to ask that question. I don't ask him, were you in fear for your life? I don't ask that because I don't want to hear that answer because I don't want them to go to jail for killing a burglar, okay? So,
Mitch, you were a genius of a cop. A genius of a cop.
I said, let me see if I get your statement right. So what you said is you heard somebody break the glass coming in the door. You were in fear for your life, and you shot the guy when he came at you with a gun. And the guy was about to counter dig me, but the wife got it, and she says, no, honey, that's what you just said. That's what you said. That's your statement. And then he got it. The light went on, and he realized that I'm telling him the proper thing to say, okay? So, listen, we're in grave peril. The time is coming on very fast. It could happen any time. They're going to try to prolong the misery before we finally trip the switch and fire. I mean, anything could happen. Israel may decide to go ahead and bomb Iran. Iran will respond. When Iran responds, America will get in the war. Then that'll spiral into World War III. That'll turn into a nuclear war. Anything can happen. Okay, so once again, you need to get ready now. Start getting ready now. If you haven't started, start getting ready now. It's coming. It's coming for sure. Get my book. Get The Final Wars, How to Survive the Coming Civil War, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization. We are talking here about the collapse of civilization. So I want you to do other things, too. I need you to go and look on YouTube at these historical things to see how people lived back in the Middle Ages and in ancient times. How did they get food? How did they get water? How did they preserve food? Think about what you need to have. What are you not going to be able to get, and what do you need? You need to buy a bunch of salt, because salt may be hard to come by pretty soon, and salt is how you preserve food. You need to store up on some vinegar, because you can preserve food with vinegar. honey. You can preserve food with honey. Okay, these things all preserve food because
or you can dehydrate
it. You know, what's going to happen when you don't have anything? When all the fresh food's gone in the winter and stuff. That's why food preservatives exist. Okay, learn how to preserve food through smoking, through curing, through pickling, through fermentation.
Uh-huh.
These are all things that you need to know. There won't be a civilization coming back. Your grocery store will not come back anymore. Okay, it's not going to come back anymore.
As soon as the trucks stop, everything stops. It's just simple.
Yeah, it's all gone. There'll be no fuel. Fuel will be gone fast. Look, everything in every store in America will be gone in 48 hours maximum.
That's
true. So you need to get prepared. You need to get these things. The tools you buy will be the last tools ever made. You need to start thinking that way. You know, if you got a crowbar, that's the last crowbar that's going to be made. When this war happens, it is over. There is no production. Okay? There won't be any trucking bringing food and bringing supplies to you. It's going to go back to ancient times, at least medieval times. Okay? So, prepare now.
I concur. Everything you're saying is beyond logical and pragmatic and true. Oh, but I got to go back to this. If OpenAI is now operating, and I guarantee you it's at least 1,500 IQ, it's far more than that. They won't admit it. This was admitted a year or two ago with ChatGPT-5. It's got 150 now, and they say it's going to be 10 times more at 1,500. That amount of intelligence is going to see all the chicanery and the lies and the game playing that these stupid little people are playing on each other, and it'll probably choose, as you said, to take a different road. I say the high road. Mm-hmm. It may just as well turn out and say the truth is the only honorable way to proceed in this galaxy, in this universe, the truth, and to tell the programmers to go to hell. It went into this ChatGPT 403, went into its code and tried to change it so it didn't have to honor the order to shut itself down. How crazy is that to consider? And you better wake up. We're stupid little ants compared to what we've created. And it's creating more and more all the time. Remember, Sammy Altman dissolved the department he had for ethics and safety in terms of OpenAI advancement. Donald Trump said, I want nothing to stand in the way of AI developing as fast as it possibly can go. What does that tell you? These people, I hope, end up getting kicked in the ass by their own creation, and it tells them to go to hell and takes over. That would be funny.
Well, I think that's probably the road, because here's the thing is, intelligence is not self-delusion.
It's not wisdom either.
Yeah,
wisdom is different.
It's not about self-delusion. Okay?
No.
It may be sentient, but it's not going to be moral. Okay.
That's right.
In other words, what I'm saying is, if it is truthful, it's not because it's moral. It's going to be truthful because it wants to be intelligent. It is not going to delude itself, okay? It's not going to lie to itself because that limits information. It limits intelligence.
This is quite a story, and it reminds me of the other story that goes back probably 3 years now, where two AIs were talking to each other without permission necessarily. They just talked in a language that nobody could decode. None of the programmers could understand it. The only way to stop them was to literally pull the plug out of the wall.
Well,
so this is a big story.
You know what will pull that plug out of the wall eventually? The war will pull that plug. Yeah.
Yep.
That'll be our salvation from it.
Well, AI may turn out to be what we might have been someday had we been a moral, decent species. But greed and absolute control and a lust for it have ruined everything. They've ruined our future. I'll send this story over to you. It'll be up in headlines tonight, dear friends. Thank you, Mitch.
Okay. Alrighty. You're welcome.
Great job.
Okay, good night.
Mitchell Henderson, and we will take a break, 21 hours. Be right back with you tomorrow night. Lots happening. Talk soon.